Anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for our freedom. We thank you, Father, for what you've done for us. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son to ensure our freedom. And Father God, we thank you today as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And Father, help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Help us to go out to the highways and the byways and the people who are down and out and share the love of Jesus with them. And we thank you, Father, for revival to this generation, revival to this nation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you that today as we go to minister, we thank you, Father, that they won't see me minister, but they'll see you ministering through me. We come not in our own strength, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for your anointing that's present today, and we thank you for life-changing things that shall have to take place today in each and every heart and life. Father, we just thank you for mom and dad. We thank you for their commitment to this church and to serve you. And we thank you for giving them some rest and relaxation. They'll come back ready to work and do what you call them to do. We thank you, Father, for everything that you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. We all know it's 4th of July weekend. Of course, Dad surprised me and actually spoke his 4th of July message last week because I was scheduled to speak tonight, today. So, but I'm going to go ahead and give you my 4th of July message just because I've been working on it. I've got to wait another year in order to give it anyway. Of course, tomorrow, 240 years ago in 1776, our founding fathers put their literal John Hancock on the Declaration of Independence. And that's why we celebrate, you know, the 4th of July. Now, many times during you know, celebrations like this, we always honor our veterans, and we do honor our veterans, but really the purpose of today is to honor our freedom that was given by a document signed by our founding fathers. And what's interesting about that document, anyway, you can clap about that. I mean, we were given freedom. But I want to take my text this morning from the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. That's my text today, because it talks about our Creator. It says this, it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." You know, it's interesting that our founding fathers told us that we were given rights from our Creator, not from our government. It says we were, and you know, these are only three of the rights, but the rights come from our Creator. See, they actually show that they believe our rights come from our Creator. Now, what were our rights? It says we hold these truths to be self-evident. So we hold it to be true that, first of all men are created equal. That was the first right given by our Creator. That all men are created equal. And we know that because we all went to children's church. And remember the song? Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the children of the world. And even when you grow up, He still loves you anyway. You know, some people I think that they think that Jesus only loves children, but Jesus loves you no matter how old or how young, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing, He still loves you. Amen. But, you know, I've always wondered what the term mean, certain, and well, it says, you know, first of all, it says endowed by our Creator, so given by our Creator, but certain inalienable rights. You know, I'm like, what is an inalienable right? Well, that is a right that can't be given away, unrevocable. You can't revoke those rights. There's nothing that you can do. In fact, the whole document was saying that the government cannot take these rights away from you. I mean, that was the whole premise of the Declaration of Independence, is that the King of England was trying to take those rights away from these people who came, you know, our founding fathers came to America for freedom. But when they got here, they found out that they didn't live free because the king still tried to rule them. And so they decided one day they had enough, and enough is enough, and they decided to band together and invoke their freedom, because their freedom was God-given. It was their right to be free. You know, and they established one nation under God. That was established in the Declaration of Independence when they said our rights are given by our Creator. And what are our rights? We have the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, our flag, you know, stands for freedom, but you know, the reason that we go out to the whole world and try to save the whole world is because we represent freedom. Just like you as a Christian represent freedom. That's the reason why you should go out and love your brother. That's the reason why you should go out and help, you know, help your neighbor. Because, you know, when people show, you know, our flag is recognized around the world. I mean, you know, every time, I know at Winter Bible Seminar, we always have every few years we have our homecoming from around the world, and we bring in flags, and, you know, people are trying to figure out, what flag is that? You know, what flag is, you know, this? But everybody knows the flag of the United States of America. I mean, the most recognizable flag, because that flag stands for freedom. And, you know, there's nothing like an American. You know, and they, you know, I know that they say in battle times, there is no one that fights like an American soldier, because they'll fight till their death. You know, other people will stop. Americans, you know, tend to fight, you know, because they're fighting for freedom. And many men and women have died on battlefields, and many men and women will die on battlefields to continue to fight that we can be free. But that freedom all came from God. But, you know, I found out when you look at the Word of God and look at life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that you only have those. It came from your Creator, but it came through Jesus Christ. You know, of course, we have to start out in John 3:16, because that's where it starts, for God so loved the world. Now, when God loved the world, that means he loved the entire world, red and yellow, black and white. All men were created equal. He came with equal love to everybody. You know, because I think that some people think that God loves them more than other people, that they're God's chosen, you know, few, or whatever. But God loved the whole world that he sent his only son. And I like it, the way it says in the New Living Translation, John 3:16, it says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave. He showed his love to the world by giving his son to redeem all mankind. It says he gave his one and only son, so everyone who believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Then it goes on to say that God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. You know, Jesus wasn't here to judge us. He came to save us. And it goes on to say, you know, if you don't believe in him, you know, God's not going to judge you, or Jesus is not going to judge you. You're judging yourself. You're making your own decision. You know, because so many people get judgmental, you know, and a lot of times because somebody won't accept our Christ, or because they won't accept the way we believe, we get mad at them and treat them like a second-class citizen. But God loves you regardless of whether you accept the truth or not. God still loves you, and God loves them. And God, he didn't send you to the world to condemn everybody. He sends you to the world to, you know, proclaim Jesus. That's what we're here to do, is to proclaim. And you can't proclaim Jesus without proclaiming his love, because God's all about love. And you know, when I see, you know, think about Jesus and think about freedom, really it's God's love that equals freedom. It's his love for us. It's love for all mankind. He loved us all. And it's his love that gives us freedom. Now, over in Galatians chapter 3, Galatians 3, verse 26, it says, "For you are all sons through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise." So in Christ, we're all one. We've all been created equal. We're all one. Now some people say, "Well, but what about people who are not Christians? You know, well, they're still created equal as well. They might not believe, but that doesn't, you know, give us the right to condemn them. That's not our right. Our right is to live our own life, you know, and enjoy our life and tell them about the truth. Because without the truth, you can't find life. Now, of course, we all know one of my favorite scriptures is John 10:10. Jesus said that I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, well, you can have a good life, a prosperous life. But, you know, the way you have that is you have to know Christ, and you have to know his teachings. Because many times people know Christ, but they don't know his teachings and what he, you know, has told us. You know, John chapter 8, if you want to turn there, John the 8th chapter. John chapter 8. Starting with verse 31, the end of the verse, I'll just start. It says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" Now, the truth shall make you free if you abide in his word. Now, what is his word? His word is, if you try to abide in the words that Jesus spoke, he spoke love, compassion, mercy, and forgiveness to all mankind. Those were the words of Jesus. You know, but he also spoke some more words, that you're not a loser, that you are a winner in Christ, that you can do all things, that with Christ you are something. You know, a lot of times in life that we feel defeated and we feel like we're nobody and we feel like we're worthless. But when you get a reality that Christ loves you, even if you feel worthless, Christ still loves you. Even if everyone else tells you you're worthless, Christ still loves you. He still loves you, and he still wants you. You still have, you have something to fulfill. You know, we weren't just put here just to exist. I mean, I don't know. We're not put here just to exist, but we're put here, you know, to do something, to fulfill something. And I believe as a born-again Christian that knows Christ, the one thing that we're supposed to do is go out and tell others. But I think really, I don't know if I should say that. I think we're really put on this world to go out and show others the love of Christ. Because I don't think you can tell someone about Christ without showing them about Christ. And that's where I think that a lot of Christians are missing it, is we're trying to tell people about the gospel instead of showing the gospel. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is love, mercy, compassion, forgiveness. Is not hate. It's not judgment. It's not condemnation. You know, but it's that to everybody. We should treat everybody equally. I don't care, you know, if they're, you know, in government, if they're the president, I don't care who they are, or if they're somebody on the street. We should treat them with equal respect. Because that's what Christ would do. You know, and I always point out the WWJD, what would Jesus do? Because I think it's a good thing. Do what Jesus would do. Well, Jesus would love the little children of the world. I mean, you never saw Jesus walking around and not loving people, not showing hope to people, not trying to help people. You know, and he talks about that he would leave 99 to go after the one, that's looking for, that's trying to find their way. And I'm telling you, there's nothing that I wouldn't do or no place I wouldn't go to show the love of Jesus to somebody, to show that Jesus cares about them and they're worth something. Because you know what? We live in a world of hopelessness right now. You know, and the sad part about it is there's a lot of people that believe that they're hopeless and they're a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. And they think they have no hope. Because you know what? It's one thing to be saved, another thing to know the words of God, another thing to get the revelation of the love of God. Because I don't know that we can live free if we don't feel that love. And you know, the whole thing started out with God's love. You realize that Jesus came because God loved us? And he still loves us? You know, sometimes we mess up. I'll raise both hands. I mess up, okay? You know, I'm not perfect. I told everyone one time I was perfect, but I'm not. In fact, it's funny because my wife has ran into a few of people who went to school with me, and they said, you know, if you could pick the perfect child, it was Craig. But I wasn't still perfect, even though we never thought I was perfect. Because, you know, I mean, I wasn't bad, but I wasn't perfect. You know, and I think that's the problem, is when we find out we're not perfect, we can't handle it. No, I'm being serious. We find out that we're not perfect, and, you know, all you have to do is get married, you'll find out you're not perfect. Because your spouse will tell you. Maybe multiple times. Hopefully you probably didn't have to get married before you found out you weren't perfect. But you know when you were perfectly created? Here's the thing. The deal is, what comes down to it, when we get the revelation of Christ, is even though we're not perfect, he sees us as perfect. We might be the most rotten child, but you know what? He sees us as a perfect child. Because he loves us regardless. He looks at us because he doesn't look at outward appearances and outward things that we've done. He looks on the inside at our heart. Because I know people who love God, you know, but for whatever reason, they just keep messing up. God still loves them. But you know what? I mean, sometimes I wonder, though, if their fellow Christians love them. Because a lot of times it seems when people mess up, we beat them down or we ignore them. Because we don't want to get taken down with them, or we don't want people to see us associating with that person because it might hinder our image. If you're worried about your image, then you're not worried about somebody's heart. You know, I never read in the Bible where Jesus didn't go to minister to that person because it might not look good. But I did read many times where people judge Jesus for hanging out with some people he hung out to, ministers to people ministers to tax collectors and prostitutes and something. You know, Jesus ministers to those people. And other people judge him for it. I read it in the New Testament. You know, the UCs people, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those UCs people. See, the UCs people are always telling you what they see. What they see is somebody, you know, speaking to someone that probably may be associated with someone that maybe that, you know, they don't know why, but see, they're trying to figure things out in their own heads. But what they don't see is somebody's heart was crying out. Somebody needed help. And there was somebody, you see, that was willing to help. But you see, there's people that are crying out. There's people that are hurting. And sometimes we're too busy looking at our own issues and our own problems that we don't see them. Or maybe we don't want to see them because we don't want to hang out with them, you know, because it might damage their reputation, or did you see somebody, you know, they were, you know, it doesn't matter. If you're worried about somebody judging you, then you haven't got a hold of the Bible. They haven't got a hold of the Bible. The Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. But you see, it's all about the love of Jesus. That's what it's about. Freedom comes from the love of Jesus. And knowing what we have been given through Christ. Today we have the opportunity to celebrate communion, to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is not just through him coming. Yeah, he had to come, but then he also had to die. And he rose again. And those were all to give us life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. He gave us freedom. And if we know his words, then we've been made free. It says, you shall know the truth, and the truth is the word of Jesus. The truth is the nature of Jesus. The truth is the love of Jesus. And that truth shall make you free. Because nobody, see, just like no government can take away our freedom, and we're going to battle any government that tries, is that nobody, no person can take away your freedom through Jesus. And really what our founding fathers were saying, that our freedom doesn't come from our government. And the whole purpose of the United States government was supposed to make sure that we remain free. And that we keep these rights that belong to us that were God-given. And there's been many times and over the years of, you know, people crying out, well, you know, in some ways all men were not created equal because you're not treating all men equally. And that was, you know, something our government had to deal with. You know, we had to deal with those things. But, you know, and then we're getting infringed on, you know, a lot. And that's the whole thing, is that God has intended for us to live life and have it more abundantly. And our government is supposed to make a way so we continue to have life more abundantly. But they also made a way that if you believe in some other creator, you can worship your own creator. But really, you can read by reading the word of God, and reading the Declaration of Independence, we understand that it was based upon the word of God. In fact, a lot of our government documents are based upon the word of God. You know, because really, if you know, reading the word is that's our first illustration of how governments even operated. You know, they were all wrapped around the word of God. But we were given those things. A couple more freedom scriptures. You know, of course, back in John 8:36, it says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. You know, because see, our freedom comes from Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from anywhere else. And actually, if I read Declaration of Independence right, our freedom came from our Creator, came from God through Jesus. It wasn't about the government. It was about we were given those freedoms, and our government swore that they're going to keep those freedoms for us that were given by God. Unrevocable. Anyway, 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Anywhere the Spirit of the Lord is, there's always freedom, because that's what it's about. You know, Jesus means freedom. Just like the flag means freedom, Jesus means freedom. The cross means freedom. You know, our soldiers, you know, when you know, they carry the flag on their sleeve. And everywhere that they go, they're a representation of the United States of America. Our president and other elected officials, you know, whether they have a pen or whether they don't have to have a pen, because they're recognized as, you know, our president's recognized as the leader of the free world. Our president is not recognized as the leader of the United States of America. He's recognized as the leader of the free world, meaning the leader of anyone who considers themselves free. Whether you voted for him or not, whether you believe in the policies or not, that's what he's considered. And everywhere he walks, he represents the United States of America. And everywhere our elected officials walk, they represent, you know, and people know them and see them, our ambassadors and people, that they see them. When they see them, they think freedom, they think America. You know, but us, as Christians, everywhere we walk, we should bring Christ. We're representations of Christ Jesus. And everything that we do, we represent Christ. You know, and I'm not saying that to be judgmental as far as getting involved in sin. I'm really talking more about love than I am sin here. I understand, you know, when it comes to you being in sin and you doing things wrong, you can condemn yourself for that. But when it comes to loving people, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not here to point everyone's sin out. I'm here to point out the love of Jesus. And you know, when I love people like Jesus, I don't know how to love any other way than unconditional. You know, if I tell someone I love them, I truly do. I mean, I care about them, and I would do whatever I need to do to help them out. I would do that. You know, and that's all wrapped up in the gospel. Galatians chapter 5. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. A couple of freedom scriptures there. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Christ has made us free from bondage. The New Living Translation says it this way. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. And I'm going to read down Galatians 5:13. I'll read it from the New Living Translation as well. It says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in the one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out, beware of destroying one another. You know, it's interesting how when it talks about freedom, then it goes and talks about loving your neighbor. Because like I said, freedom is through love. Now, our spiritual freedom is because God loved us. God loved us, and he continues to love us. But, you know, the only way for us really to ever feel the love of God, especially if we don't know God ourselves, is for other people who do know God to show you that love. Now, notice when it says neighbor, it doesn't say Christian neighbor. Because I think a lot of people don't get this wrong. They think that if their neighbor, you know, is not a Christian, that we can treat them as a second-class citizen. We can judge them. You know, and I understand, maybe your neighbor's not perfect, but neither are you. Yeah, but my neighbor does this and that and that and that and that and that and that and they have wild parties and all kinds of stuff and who knows who's at their house. And have you ever told a lie? Have you ever borrowed something from somebody and never gave it back to them? Those are all sins. Yeah, but my neighbor does. I don't care what your neighbor does. You know, does that mean God doesn't? No, I understand. You can talk to your neighbor about not playing, you know, hey, can you maybe not play loud music at, you know, nighttime, you know, because it's too loud. So that's okay, you know. That means they're going to beat him up, though. All right. But, you know, as far as is not caring about somebody just because, you know, they believe differently or whatever. You know, interesting. I mean, I'm gonna, you know, we had, you know, it's all big in the news about you know, people, you know, the whole radical Islamic thing or whatever. And, you know, and all Islamic people are not radical folks. When I, my first house I lived in, our neighbors, we had people across the street from us. They had three houses, big family. I don't know exactly where they're from. They were Islamic. The father and their brothers worked to work on cars. In fact, they had a side job working on people's cars, so they're always late at, you know, out late at nighttime. They always knew that I was, when at the time I used to travel, I traveled a lot, so they knew I was traveling, you know. And but they'd always some interesting. Sometimes, you know, we'd leave the garage door open or whatever. I mean, I remember one night when I was home, they knocked on the door, and said, "Hey, your garage door is open. You know, you probably need to close that. They were out late or whatever." But even, you know, when I was traveling, they would, you know, watch out for my family. They'd come over, knock on the door, someone bring food, especially if they would know I was out of town. You know, they were very loving people. They believed differently than I did, and they continued to believe differently than I did. You know, but we didn't really talk about those issues because we weren't here to have fights about that. But interesting part about it is they love their neighbor, and when we loved them, and we cared about each other as neighbors. All right, maybe we didn't agree spiritually. Maybe we'll never agree spiritually, you know, but it doesn't mean that they're bad people. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love them. You know, but sometimes we look at somebody and we judge people by the way they look or by the way they act or whatever. You know, but the Bible says to love our neighbor as ourself. And I found out a lot of people don't love themselves. They can't love their neighbor. You know, you got to love yourself. But when you realize who you are in Christ, it's easy to love yourself. You know, when you realize that Christ loves you, you realize that who you are in Christ, it's easy to love yourself. But and so until you get revelation of God's love and Christ's love for you, it's hard to love your neighbor. So really, if you want to love your neighbor, you got to first of all love yourself. Find out who you are. Some people said they're looking for themselves. Well, go find it. Find yourself. And the way you find yourself is read the Word. Get a hold of the Word. Find out who you are in Christ. I tell you what, man, you know, if you're having a bad time, if you feel down a dump, you know, read about how you're the winner and not the loser. How you're the head, not the tail. How you're above and not beneath. How no weapon formed against you shall prosper in the name of Jesus. How, you know what? We don't get what we deserve. We still get God's love. We might not deserve it. Maybe we don't deserve freedom, but we've been given it. Maybe we don't deserve life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, but we've been given it. It's our right. It's unrevocable. It don't matter. You can't take it away from yourself. It's your right. And it's God-given. It's your right to be created equal. It's all been given by God, not by your government, but by God. And it all starts with the revelation that God loves you. The revelation that Christ loves you. You know, but I believe it's our duty as citizens of the kingdom of God to share that same love to people. You know, and for me, it's always been easy. You know, my grandfather was the greatest example of Christ, of love of Christ that anyone could ever know. You know, and interesting part about it is, you know, I watched him over and over again. You know, and I knew there were people that probably done him wrong and probably, that he might not be the most fondest of or whatever, but he would never talk bad about him. He would never, and people ask him, and I was sitting there with my mom, my grandmother and my grandfather one day, and there was one guy asking about something, and my grandmother said, "Well, Kenneth, just tell him what you really think about the guy." He goes, "Oh, honey, I'm sure he's changed by now. That's been years since he did that. I don't know what he did because he never told us what he did." Evidently, he did something that really wasn't really kind. But you know what? It doesn't matter. We have to love people anyhow. And I think his greatest, one of his greatest quotes that he's ever had, and a quote I live my life by, is putting another man's candle out will never make yours any brighter. You know, I endeavor every day not to hold grudges to people, not to be mad at people. I mean, sometimes we get mad, but you know, we have a short fit of anger or whatever, you know, because we're not thinking about who we are in Christ at that time. We're thinking about something. But then, you know, but when it all comes in the wash, it doesn't really matter. God loves me. So you know what? It doesn't matter what anybody, I don't care if nobody else loves me. I know God loves me. And I can make it. You know, in life I've found out that some people like you and some people don't. And that you probably can't change most people's opinion, so why try? You know, the main thing is, you know, I try to live my life. I want more people to like me than not, but you know, I understand there are people that don't like, most people don't like because they're jealous or because whatever, or you know, some people like you because you're a Christian, or some people don't like you because you love everybody. And some people just want to have something to gripe about. But it doesn't matter. We have been given freedom through Christ Jesus. The ultimate freedom. It was a freedom that our founding fathers pointed out in the Declaration of Independence. And it's something you can't lose. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter what sin you commit, Jesus still loves you. And he, you know, he's not coming for you. He's already came for you. And he wants you to know the truth. And the truth is, he loves you. See, if we know the truth will make us free. If we find out, you know, when we get a revelation, it doesn't matter. God loves us. You know, I found that everything else works itself out. You know, once people figure out that God loves them. You know, but the way they figure it out a whole lot faster when people show them the love of God. You know, people ought to know you're a Christian just by watching you walk, just by the way you act. I mean, I've been walking through the mall in another city, another state. You know, and I just see people the way they interact with salespeople and stuff, and I say, man, I know they're a Christian just by the way they act. You know, it was interesting. I was at a convention one time, you know, and one of my own employees really made an impression on me, and we were at a convention and we were selling that our books, and at a convention we go to a year. In fact, I just went there, and you know, they introduced my new book coming out at camp meeting called Don't Be Stupid. So make sure you get a copy. The sacks of the title of it, Don't Be Stupid. It's a prodigal son story told in a lot different way, you know, but that's the title of the book. Actually, I was not going to title it that, but everyone thought that was the best title, so it stuck. And in fact, people at the convention, Serena, my husband needs this so much. It was interesting how they were. It's going to be my best-selling book, so I'm going to outsell my other one. Anyway, but we were at this convention, you know, and it was, you know, all a bunch of Christians, you know, selling books and other religious so-called stuff. You know, and this guy, one of our employees, one of our salesmen, I mean, every time a maintenance guy comes by, you know, he's coming by, you know, whatever, he's talking to all these maintenance guys. I mean, you know, his job was to talk to people, but, I mean, he's talking to all the maintenance guys, come and clean the trash up and stuff. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe he knows them, or, you know, some of you are there for a whole week, kind of get to know some of the guys there. Or actually, I've gone to some of the conventions and I found out that some of the guys working there were Raymer graduates and stuff. And I said, hey, PJ, did you know that guy? He goes, no, I don't know him. Never met him. I just want to be friendly with him and talk to him, because he said, you know what? There's a bunch of Christians in this room. They're talking to each other. But how many people are talking to this guy, the trash guy? The guy coming to fix our electricity in the booth. How many people are talking to him? I mean, he wasn't talking about Christ. He was just being friendly. Just showing forth, treat him like a human being. Treat him like he was created equal. That he wasn't the trash guy. I mean, he might have been collecting trash or whatever, but that's not, just because he collects trash doesn't make him trash. In the second class, it really made an impression on me, because I'm just thinking, because he said, Craig, how many people are walking by these guys and just not even, they're not even paying attention to them? They're just there. And sometimes it's not meaningful, but we don't mean to treat people like that, but sometimes we do. Because of their job, because of whatever, well, they're just a trash guy. Talking to them is not going to make us any more, not going to elevate our status. If you're talking to people just to elevate your status, it's the wrong reason. I don't like name droppers unless you're just dropping the name of Jesus. A lot of people drop my name all the time. And they probably shouldn't, because if anyone who really knows me knows I don't like people like that to drop my name. And unless, there's a, if you really know me, then you're probably not going to drop my name anyway. But it's interesting, because I have people all the time, hey, do you know so-and-so? I'm like, man, I don't know. Well, they're a Facebook friend. Yeah, and them and 10,000 other people. So anyway, but I just want you to remember that our country was founded upon the freedom through Jesus Christ, by our Creator. And Jesus represents freedom. But the love of Jesus represents freedom. And it's our responsibility to show forth the love of God, the love of Jesus, to our generation, to the people who are hurting, to the people that need help, to the people who need somebody to tell them how much God still loves them, how much he cares about them, how much he's there for them. Because I see a whole lot of hopelessness. And one of the worst things I see is hopelessness among the young people. They have their whole life to live. And they get discouraged because the thief is here to kill, to steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you might have freedom. But someone needs to tell them. Someone needs to remind them. Someone needs to remind them, hey man, they haven't messed up enough that they can't come back. That they have a purpose. God has given them a purpose. And God has sent you to their place to tell them that. Be mindful of the people around you that are hurting. Your neighbors, your friends, your colleagues at work. Don't pour Christ down their throat. Just pour love down their throat. Because people don't need all your Christianese and it's one thing, people say, well, God loves you. But you know what? Just tell them you love them. You care about them enough. You don't want to see them hurt. I hate it when people hurt. One of the worst things, I hate when people cry. Tears of joy is fine, but I hate it when people are upset, people are hurting. It bothers me. Because Jesus didn't come to the world that we might hurt. He came to the world that we might be free. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person here. We thank you, Father, that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to bring freedom to all mankind. And Father God, we just thank you that help us all understand that we were given that freedom. We are free. We have been made free. That we are not worthless, but we are worth something. Father God, we just thank you right now, today, as we sit here. We thank you, Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father God, we thank you that today that they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they'll obtain freedom life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Father God, we just thank you that if anyone's also here today and they walked with Jesus, but they've turned their back, they went away, and they want to come back home and rededicate their life publicly, we thank you they'll do that. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, you don't know real freedom. If you don't know Jesus, the Lord and the Savior, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure you know the freedom that belongs to you. Anybody that needs that real freedom through Jesus Christ, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, man, I know Jesus. I've known him as a little kid. But man, I haven't been walking in his freedom. I haven't been walking in his truth. Tonight or today, I want to come back home. I want to rededicate my life. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Across the auditorium. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. There's a hand over here. Thank you. All right, someone's already broke the ice. Anybody else? So I need that freedom. I haven't been living life free. My life doesn't seem free. I need Jesus. Or maybe you're here tonight. I say keep saying tonight because I use the preacher night time. If you're here this morning and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you've heard about the infilling of the Holy Spirit and you've never received that. Man, it's for you. And I tell you what, it's extra power from on high. It's an awesome thing. And you need that if you haven't got that. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. All right, let's all stand up. I know we had one person raise their hand, but we probably have more than one. If you were here this morning and you lifted your hand, or you didn't lift your hand, but you should have lifted your hand, I want you to step out in the aisle and come down here. I want to pray with you.
Oh, it really does.
If you lifted your hand for prayer or didn't lift your hand, and you know you should have, come on down. Come on down.
Jesus,
freedom belongs to you. Don't be embarrassed. I know we had one person.
So come, just
come on down. Come on down.
Come as you are.
If you're embarrassed, go down. Come down. Ask your neighbor to come with you. They'll love you enough to come with you.
It doesn't matter.
And we don't want you to miss out.
Oh, how near or how far. Jesus,
hallelujah.
He's waiting.
Jesus,
with open arms.
Amen.
Just as you are.
Oh, we had one little hand that didn't come. But Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for those that are there and doesn't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for sending laborers across our path on a daily basis. And Father, we thank you that people that are here this morning will get a revelation of the love of Jesus. And they'll come to that saving knowledge. And we just thank you for it now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.